So let's go ahead, and I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. I just want God to just speak over this time and be go before us, knit us in behind. I just want him to be able to speak freely and get me out of the way. And so I'm going to pray, and we'll open us up that way. All right. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you so much that you have redeemed us, you have rescued us, you have created us. And Lord, we thank you so much that not only are you our creator, but Lord, you are our sustainer, and Lord, you are our finisher. Lord, there's nothing that I can say today that's going to be of any encouragement whatsoever. And so, Lord, we just pray that your power would go forth, your word would go forth, and, Lord, that you would speak in such a powerful way. Lord, the things that you've just really revealed in my own heart, Lord, I just pray with clarity I would be able to speak to others about. Lord, I thank you so much for just the things that you've taught me through this study. Lord, the things that you have just done in my own life. And, Lord, I just pray that it'll have a great and lasting impact on the ladies here today. So we give this to you. We ask for you to speak in such a mighty way. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen. Come on, I think we still have some seats in the back, ladies, if you want to grab a seat. It'd be awesome. As I've shared already, my name is Valerie, and my husband and I actually serve right up the road at Shenandoah Baptist Church. We've been here for about, I think, a year and a half, and I kind of grew up here in Red Oaks, so I know a little bit about it. And so we've enjoyed the mountains, but we came from a beautiful place that had the most gorgeous mountains I've ever seen in my life, Luray, Virginia. We were in Luray for a little while, and just seeing God work in such a mighty way is so absolutely amazing. But there are times in our lives that we don't see God working. And so today we're going to really talk about that. We're going to talk about how our empowered faith can lead to empowered praying. And so today, to start out our session, I'm going to read a story to you by George Mueller. And so many of us as believers, I think if I were to ask all of you, you would want to grow in your faith. And I think if I were to ask you guys, you would also want to grow in your prayer life. Well, we can't grow in our prayer life unless we grow in our faith life. And so we think about different people that we have fallen in love with. Stories of faith, whether it's in the scriptures. Hebrews 11 talks about so much about the people of faith throughout scripture. And we love to hear the stories. We think about George Mueller. We think about Amy Carmichael. We might think about Hudson Taylor. We all have these people in our mind that when we think about them, we think, there is just no way I can ever be like that. And so today we're going to talk about ways, we're going to walk through the process of how we actually can have prayers of faith that are answered and how our faith can take us to faith praying. So I want to start off by sharing this story to you. There are so many good stories from George Mueller, and it's hard to pick one, but I love this one, and so I'm going to share it. The Mueller set off for the United States in August of 1877 aboard the Sardinian. Off Newfoundland, the weather turned cold and the ship's progress was seriously retarded by fog. The captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours when something happened which revolutionized his life. George Mueller appeared on the bridge. "Captain, I have come to tell you I must be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon." "It is impossible," said the captain. "Very well," said Mueller. "If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement for 52 years. Let's go down into the chart room to pray." The captain wondered which lunatic asylum Mueller had come from. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "do you know how dense the fog is?" "No. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." Mueller then knelt down to pray, and he prayed simply. When he had finished, the captain was about to pray, but Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and told him not to. He said, "First, you do not believe he will, and second, I believe he has. And there is no need whatever for you to pray about it." The captain looked at Mueller in amazement. "Captain," he continued, I have known my Lord for 52 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, Captain, open the door, and you will find that the fog is gone. The captain walked across to the door and opened it. The fog had lifted. It was the captain himself who later told the story of this incident, and he was described by a well-known evangelist as one of the most devoted men I ever knew. If you'll take out your worksheet that I've given you two different things today. I've given you a worksheet that we're going to work through, and I have so much to say in so little time, so I'm going to go kind of fast. But I've also given you some verse cards on your seat. Now, if you came in and you do not have one, we can get them to you at the end. But on your seat, these are verses that we're going to talk about today. And so you can take them, cut them apart, put them on your fridge, put them in your car, something that to remind you of what God has spoken to you about today in His Word. But as Reba's already said, she quoted A.W. Tozer, and you'll find that on your worksheet. It says, "What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." How true is that? How we view God impacts the very core of our prayer life. And so the first thing that I'm going to have you do this morning or this afternoon is I'm going to have you make a list, okay? And maybe you've already started that since you probably have looked at your worksheet. But I want you to make a list of 10 to 20 different things that you know about God. It might be something that you learned through your pastor at church. It might be something that you heard from the radio. It might be something out of your own quiet time. But write down, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes to write down 10 to 20 things that you know for certain about God. Okay, we're going to wrap this part up just so we can get to everything else. Everybody's list is going to be different, and everything that you know might be different from somebody else. So anybody on your row is going to have different answers to that. But we're going to come back to those things in just a minute. But right now we're going to dive in and see what Scripture has to say, and we're going to break apart some things to see what God has to say about our faith. And so if you would turn with me to Mark 9, 17 through 24. Mark 9, 17 through 24. It says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came to him? And he said, Since he was a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. On your sheet there, you'll see a definition to empower. And the definition to empower means to give power or authority to, to authorize. Empowered faith is a faith that only God can give and produce in our lives. I want to dissect some verses really quick for us, and that's verses 22 through 24. But the first thing that I want to do is go straight to 24, and it says there are four words in this passage that I really want to take apart, and I want us to see on a closer level. He says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.'" The four words that I really want to focus on is straightaway, which is immediately on your worksheet, believe, help, and unbelief. So if we were to dissect these words, we're going to see the progression of how we can have empowered faith in any circumstance, in any situation that we come or face in life. So the word immediately here means without delay. It means acting immediately. It's a direct path from God takes us from point A to point B, and it avoids any unnecessary delays. So we see here that Christ rebuked him in his unbelief. In verse 22, he says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." Well, Christ then says, "If thou canst, if I can't, how long will we live in unbelief?" After Christ rebukes us and we see our unbelief, what is our first response? Is it an immediate response? How quickly do we seek the Lord in our unbelief? This man had an immediate response. The second word is believe. He cries out and he says, "Lord, I believe." And all of us have times in our life where we do believe. We believed the Lord for salvation. We believed him for his word, that his word is true. We believe him for so many things in life, but did we realize that sometimes our belief is a human belief? And that is what this word means. This word believes is a belief of human persuasion. It's a human faith. It's not a God-given faith. We need to be careful of having faith in our faith. Now, this is something I really struggle with because my spiritual gift, I would say, is faith. And so many times when I'm praying or so many times when I'm really asking God to work in a situation, there are times that I have faith in my own faith. And that's not what we're required, and that's not what we're asked to do. We're never asked to have faith in ourselves. We're always supposed to have faith in the Lord. And so we need to be careful of having faith or a human faith in our own selves or a faith in our faith. So what should we do if we find ourselves in a human faith, in a human belief, a belief that's not given by God? And we're going to see that from this man. And oh, I have so fallen in love with this man just by researching it and thinking through all of the emotions he would have gone through. But after his immediate response to the Lord, he said, "Help." And so this word "help" means to run and meet an urgent cry of distress. It's an immediate aid for great need. And so this man said with tears, "Lord, help." When we're found in an area of unbelief, do we ask the Lord for help? I know I don't. I know there are times that I'm asking and praying for a certain situation, and I want to do it in my own strength. I want to pray in my own strength. I want to pray what I want to pray. But I never realized that I need help in my praying. And this man immediately saw his need. He had a human belief, and he knew he needed help. And so he asked the Lord, and it's an urgent cry of distress. So when we find ourselves in this situation, we need to remember that it needs to be an immediate response of asking the Lord to help us in our unbelief. And the fourth word there is unbelief, which is withholding belief in the divine power. Withholding belief in the divine power. And my question for myself and for us, are we withholding belief from the very God that we say that we believe? And that's what Reba touched on this a little bit this morning, about how so many times we're not believing who God says he is. And so I want you to look at your list that you created, your list of words that you know about God. And I want you to think through that list. And I want you to think about areas on that list that, Lord, I do believe you, but it's a human belief. It's not a God-sized belief. It's not a belief that God has given me. So I want you to look back through your list, and I want you to think through and maybe even circle the ones that you know, I don't believe you in a supernatural way here. I don't believe you because Christ has empowered me to believe. I believe it because it's something that I've been taught my whole life. It's something that I maybe read in the scripture, but it's more of a human belief. So look at your words. Circle the ones that you know for sure that you need to give over to the Lord for a supernatural, God-empowering belief. And after you've done that, we're going to move back up to verses 22 and 23. In verse 22, he says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And how many times do we approach our prayer this way? We might not say it out loud, but maybe we possibly think, Lord, I know you can, but... And she said three little words we always say, I know you can. But we always have a qualification word. Just like George Mueller did not allow the captain of the ship to pray because he didn't believe God could or would, we need to do some evaluations in our own lives. Do we really believe God can? Let's take the if out of our prayers. He can. Jesus asked the question right back at him. If you can, meaning if I can? The word there in the Greek, which I love, and this is where you're going to go to under God can. The word there in the Greek of God can means I can. I am powerful. I am able. I have the power. I am empowered. And we know that empowered means to give authority to or to give authorization. So many times in our praying, we don't have that authority from God. We don't have that authorization. We never even think to ask God for his authority in our praying. What an astounding thing to think that even through our unbelief, we are saying, God, you're powerless. Lord, you can't do this. Can you really? Is this really something you can do? So it goes back to our list. God can. Ephesians 3:20, and this is her theme verse, Reba's theme verse this week, weekend, is Ephesians 3:20. And it's so neat. I'd never even met Reba before this morning. And it's so neat to see how God must have something in this verse for us. He must have something he really wants to take home and he really wants us to meditate on and focus on. So I'd really encourage you to go back through this and really think and ask the Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you wanting me to do as a result of this? But it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we're going to focus on this word work. And this is so amazing. And this is just where God just really did an amazing work of faith in my own life this week as I was studying for this. It's such an awesome illustration. This word worketh means how God empowers us. It's how he empowers us with his power. So this is a beautiful thought. It means, okay, so for your words, you're going to write energizes. He works in a situation which brings it from one point to another, like an electrical current energizing a wire. It's like when you flip on the light switch, it's giving power to the light bulb. This is exactly what that word worketh means. Isn't that powerful? To know that God has the power, He can, He has the authority to then energize our prayers and our faith. And I love this. I think it's beautiful how He's transferring power from Him to us. And we know that the Holy Spirit already lives in us, so we already have it there, but it's transferring it from Him unto us. God is allowing us power because we are tapped into His power that works within us. And another beautiful verse is John 15:5. In John 15:5, it says, "I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So these verses go hand in hand. And I had never seen that before, how the worketh in that is almost the same thing as abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. So when you think about Ephesians 3:20, think about abiding. Think about how we cannot tap into His power unless we are in the vine. And then we bear much fruit. Now we're going to move down our worksheet and quickly go through four keys and thoughts pertaining to our prayer life. The first thing is we must prepare our hearts. If we were going to meet with the President of the United States, or if we were going to meet with someone in high authority, we might pick out our best outfit, or actually some of us might go and buy a new outfit. We would sit and we would do our makeup or our hair. We would make sure that everything looked right. We'd probably even find somebody and ask for advice and say, "Do I look okay today?" We would prepare ourselves in probably in a better way than normal. We wouldn't just show up in sweatpants. Well, likewise, meeting with the Creator of the universe, we must prepare our hearts. Now, we know that we can go to Him in our sweatpants. What a wonderful thought. We know that we can go to Him at any time with anything, but we must prepare our hearts. And the things that prepare our hearts is making sure the first thing is to be connected to the vine or the power source, like we've already talked about. But apart from that connection, there is no effective prayer life. The second thing, we must ask, just like the man did in Mark 9, immediately with no delays for God's help in prayer. We cannot pray the way God would have us to pray apart from Him, so we have to ask. The third thing is that we must confess our unbelief. We must fall down in absolute trust and belief in the one who holds all power and authority in His hands. You have a quote there by Jim Cimbala. It says, "Living in disobedience and asking God to bless is impossible." How many of us find ourselves all the time praying and not seeing any results? We need to evaluate whether there's sin in our lives, whether we're being obedient about things. I had somebody tell me one time, if God spoke to you on Sunday and asked you or told you to do something specific and you decided that you weren't going to do that, then you've just cut off that relationship. So go back to the last time that you know God asked you to do something. Go back to that specific time, whether it's Sunday, whether it was a year ago, that you know exactly God told me to do this and I didn't do it. Go back to that point. Make it right so then you can be connected again and you're able to ask in faith and prayer. Disobedience and blessing cannot go hand in hand, so we need to prepare daily as we meet with the Lord. The second thing is we must see the need. Today we're living in such a generation and such a society that we have such a lack of prayer. The statistics of prayer are disheartening in the church. They say that more than 50% of people don't even pray. I didn't bring the statistics. I don't have the statistics, but if you look it up, it's very, very alarming to know how many Christians do not pray. And when we do pray, we're not praying the right things. And so we need to see the need. We need God's intervention more than ever before. And maybe we're just too busy in life that we just don't pray. Prayer is an outpouring of a person's need for God, and we need God desperately. Maybe we don't have a certain circumstance that we feel like we need God to and ask Him in prayer. Maybe we're not struggling with something that other people are, like cancer, or maybe we don't have a bad relationship in the home. But that's not necessarily what our need is. Our need is for God. We need God for every part of our lives, whether we're in a trial or not, and whether we realize it or not. We need to see the need for prayer before we can ever be effective in praying. The third thing is praying His will and not our own. And this hit home for me this week in such a powerful way. On Sunday, my husband, who's the pastor, I was going to say our pastor, he preached on a message on praying the very best. And so many times we pray in our own will for circumstances, for things, but we forget that we pray for the temporal and we don't pray for maybe what God would have us to pray. For instance, the biggest day for our children's lives, for our lives, is the day that we meet the Lord. Yet we never pray for that day. We never think to pray that someday our children are going to be standing before the Lord and that they need prayer for that day. They need prayer that ushers them into God's throne. But we pray for the boo-boos, and those aren't bad things to pray for, or the trial at school today, or we pray for maybe my son, we want him to get into a certain college, or maybe we want him to be a missionary, or maybe we want certain things for our children and our grandchildren. But the most important day of their life is the day that they're going to meet the Lord. And so maybe we should be praying a little bit more focused on that day. Maybe we shouldn't be praying so much for this year or this week or today. Maybe we should be praying for the day that they meet the Lord, because we never know when that's going to be. And so I know for myself, so many times I pray things and I don't even realize that maybe I'm praying a selfish prayer for my children. Maybe God wants them to go to a specific school that I don't have in mind, so I'm praying specifically for a Christian college or maybe a certain college for them to go to, and that's never God's intention for my child. Now, sure, we as parents, we have to shepherd our children and give them great advice and help them along with those things, so I'm not saying that at all. But so many times, I think we have specific thoughts in our mind that we want to transfer to our children, so we immediately tag prayer to it, and maybe that's not God's will. So we pray out of God's will in that way. But God does have a specific will for us in prayer. And I don't think we think about it that way. We know that God has specific will for our circumstances or for our next decision, but we never think about God has a will for our praying, and He does. And so God gave us His word to direct us. And one of my favorite things to do and one of my favorite ways to pray is through the word. And when we pray through the word, we know that we're praying God's will. Because God, His very person, is His word. His very words is Himself. And so when we pray His word, we are praying Him back to Himself, giving Him glory and honor and praise. So some things that I do, I ask the Lord, even in His will for my praying, I ask the Lord, what do you want me to pray about? Lord, what is your desire for my prayer life today? What is your desire for specific requests today? And so I leave it open. I sit quietly and wait patiently for Him to give me names of people that He would have me pray for that day. And so I write a list of those names on the left side of my paper. And then I go to my psalm for the day, and I pray a psalm every morning over a group of people that the Lord has just really laid on my heart. And I pray that psalm back to Him. The coolest thing about praying God's word is that you're not necessarily praying For a specific person to be healed of this, or you're not praying maybe for a certain circumstance, you're praying God's word over that person in that psalm that day. So it covers a whole bunch of things, whether it's, Lord, help them to rejoice today. Lord, help them to see you mighty and lifted up. Lord, be their rock today, their strong tower. There's so many things that the Psalms can encompass in our prayer life, and I love praying that way. And I can't tell you how many times ladies have come to me and said, this is what I was going to through on this certain day, and I went back and saw that that Psalm for the day was exactly what they needed for that exact day. And it's so beautiful to see how God can direct our prayer even through His Word. So I'd really encourage you to pray in His will. And I'm not saying that you have to pray His Word in every prayer. That's not what I'm saying. But just praying, being open to praying God's Word back to Him for the people in your life. And then the last thing is praying knowing that there is an enemy of prayer. That one's a little bit long. So praying knowing that there's an enemy of prayer. And we know that Satan is prayer's biggest enemy. He wants to do everything he can to distract us and to keep us from praying. But Ian Bounds says that the enemy of prayer and faith is doubt and fear. And I think we know that very well. He goes on to say that doubts and fears should never be accommodated. We must take our eyes off of ourselves and our own weaknesses and rely fully on God's strength. James makes it clear in James 1 that he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed about. He's unstable in all his ways, and how could a man like that ever expect to see anything or receive anything from the Lord? So I want you to take that sheet from the we must prepare our hearts, we must see the need, we must pray His will and not our own, and we must pray knowing that there's an enemy of prayer. And I want you to focus in on maybe which one maybe you struggle with the most. Maybe which one God really wants to work on in your own life. And I want you to, on the back, commit that to the Lord. I want you to turn your worksheet over and specifically write out the area that maybe the Lord really need help in prayer. Maybe you really need somebody to pray over that area with you. So write out that, and then I would like you also to write out some impossible prayer requests, some requests that you know that maybe you've been praying for years and you're not seeing anything happen. Maybe it's something that just came up in your life that you have no idea what to do and it seems really impossible to you. But we know that God can. So I want you to write those requests on the back of your sheet. And then we're going to do something a little different with our next 5 minutes after you've done that, is I'm going to have you break up with one other person. And you don't have to share with them the specifics. You don't have to share with them exactly what's going on. But I would like you to pray for each other and pray for one another that God would really help us in our unbelief, that God would show us that He can and He is able to transfer His power to us when we have faith in Him alone. And I want you to commit those things to the Lord. And the reason I want you to break up is sometimes when we do it ourselves, I have ADD a little bit to where my mind gets distracted. But I want you to be able to share that with another person and be able to pray over that other person. Maybe, Lord, give them the belief that they need. Lord, give them the faith that they need that is required for true empowered praying. So do that. Take about a minute. Write down your request. And right after you get your request, find one other person that you can pray with and share with and really ask God to do that in each other's lives. Okay? And then I'll close this in prayer in just a few minutes.